Kia ora, talofa lava, and welcome to Susana Leotawa, who is RNZ Pacific's news editor and our Pacific correspondent.
Kia ora morena, Catherine.
Lovely to have you with us. Now, Niue, of course, opens its border, and first flight, it looks like. We've got some positive COVID cases there. Just explain what's happened the last day.
It's been a busy time in Niue. So just starting with these positive cases, that first flight, 118 passengers on board flying out of Auckland to Niue, they land. Very, very strict protocols in place. This flight is recognised as a quarantine-free flight, but all passengers have to go to the hospital upon disembarking to be tested. As a result of those tests, five passengers are identified as positive COVID cases. One of them requires, because of pre-existing health conditions, to be hospitalised and is currently. The conditions described as mild to moderate. The other four are isolating at home. And for the remainder of the passengers, that's 113 passengers, they're being tested today, which is day three. All reports from Niue are of calm. They have contingencies, of course, because it's a small infrastructure in Niue. They can support two cases being hospitalised, but anything more than that, an escalation of cases, would need to be those patients brought to New Zealand for assistance. There are currently five doctors, we understand, in Niue, including one who was on that flight, pre-arranged that flight on Monday. The next flight from Auckland to Niue on Monday will also have another doctor travelling, so that's really helpful. But not only has this been the case this week, but Niue has been dealing with a massive power outage, which started last week, so Friday New Zealand time, Thursday Niue time, where a fault on the line, as the saying goes, escalated and turned into a number of villages not having power and therefore their water supply being impacted, other parts of the infrastructure and public service being impacted, including local television and radio that experienced a two-day blackout where they weren't able to broadcast anything, which coincided with these five cases arriving. Remembering, of course, that Niue has no community transmission of COVID-19. So a lot of urgency around this combination of two things happening, the power outage and the arrival of these five positive cases.
Goodness, all hands on deck. Now, speaking of which, the UN conference, the Ocean Conference, what is the latest?
Well, it's been a busy time and Pacific countries have held centre stage, one could say. The Ocean Conference started in Lisbon 27th of June and it will finish overnight there, our time, so the 1st of July, their time. What's happened is what's been called a first governmental alliance of its kind. Palau, Fiji, announced their opposition to deep sea mining, calling for a moratorium on the emerging industry in the region amidst growing fears that it'll destroy the seafloor and damage biodiversity. The representative for Samoa, who's the UN, Samoa's mission to the UN, their ambassador, he then stood up from the floor and said, "Samoa is joining you." Guam followed. Everyone got a standing ovation, and it's really signalled, as Greenpeace noted, Greenpeace Aotearoa, this calling for this new alliance is absolutely monumental. And Greenpeace Aotearoa saying New Zealand government needs to take a strong stand on the issue. Not only that, but speaking remotely, because not all Pacific countries have been able to get to Lisbon, the chair of the Pacific Parliamentarians Alliance on Deep Sea Mining is Ralph Reginvanu. He is from Vanuatu, and he's taken this time to appeal to the Republic of Nauru, to the Cook Islands, to the Republic of Kiribati, and the Kingdom of Tonga to take Tuvalu's lead, because Tuvalu's the most recent country to say, hey, we want a moratorium. And quote-unquote draw back from the brink is how Ralph Reginvanu is talking. He's also saying that the Pacific Parliamentarians Alliance is now working together with parliamentarians for global action to unite political efforts. So these political voices, these holders of political office in these different Pacific nations and territories are actually gaining quite a lot of attention at the Ocean Conference, including the Palau President Sarangawipes Jr., who spoke to hundreds of protesters outside the UN conference, Ocean Conference, saying the Pacific might as well be bombed given the impacts larger countries are having on the Pacific region's oceans. And he thanked those protesters for their support of the Pacific and just said that global leaders needed to listen. That was also a message that Fiji's Prime Minister Frank Bainimarama also issued to global leaders to take their lead and follow suit with supporting this moratorium.
Now, Papua New Guinea has elections starting tomorrow, I think, and running for 3 weeks.
Exactly. Large country, running for 3 weeks, starting July 2nd, finishing on July 22nd. In our next update, we'll give you more detail around it. But suffice to say, it's kicking off tomorrow. There has been, the pre-election campaigning has been described as quiet, but security is a high priority. And in the past, let's say 10 days, there have been calls for Papua New Guinea to make sure that it is providing and promoting free, fair and safe national elections. The National Research Institute, this is Papua New Guinea's National Research Institute, is saying that there are, well, it's saying that irregularities are common in PNG elections, pointing to vote buying, treating, gifting by candidates, block voting by communities, intimidation and violence. And so there's this real call for this election to be the difference. Also, a call for there to be more women in PNG's parliament. There are none currently, and in this election there are 176 running for office.
None, goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's finish with a beer, a taste of Samoa, but in the future to be brewed in Fiji. What's happened with Vailima beer?
But actually, it's Vailima beer. That was my typo.
Oh, okay.
I apologise. Apologise to your producers and everyone
who
noted that I own that typo, one vowel. So Vailima beer, brewed, and I'm just finding my notes here because I want to get this part right, but brewed by Samoa Brewery since 1978. Word overnight, late yesterday afternoon, they cannot continue to brew it in Apia. It's a combination of factors, aging machinery, the impacts, if we remember, because it's not easy to remember situations pre-pandemic, but the measles outbreak in 2019 in Samoa was severe and it impacted Vailima brewing. And, of course, the impacts of the closed border and the movement of the product out of Samoa has compounded, and as a result, what's known as the Taste of Samoa, Vailima beer, is now going to be brewed solely in Fiji. Now, the brewers of Vailima in Samoa also have operations in Fiji, so this part isn't new, it's just that it is no longer going to be coming from the source. And as a result of that, about 50 jobs, we understand, are going to be lost. And this change is effective from November the 1st. I'm just trying to get my head around it. As a member of the Samoan diaspora, my first trip to Samoa, albeit I was 12 and was not drinking Vailima, but I remember it so clearly, the labelling, all of it. It's a signature product of Samoa. So who knows how that's going to be marketed now.
You probably were allowed a little shandy, weren't you?
Well,
a little bit of lemonade.
I can't
in
say.
There as well.
I can't say.
I'm getting
I can't
thirsty
say
just looking at this. There's one outlet selling it in New Zealand. C1 Espresso in Chewham Street in Christchurch is selling it that I'm seeing it.
But. Yeah, you can buy it in dairies around the country.
Okay.
I mean, it's been available, I think, in New Zealand since the 90s, and there are a number of versions of Vailima. There's not just one, but yeah it's a signature item for sure for Samoa.
A piece of history, that's for sure. Whawhatai and kia ora. Thanks very much to Susana Leotoa, who is our Pacific correspondent. She's RNZ Pacific's news editor.